What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Millionaire Mindcast, a show that focuses on all things, let me see if you can guess it, mindset, money, and motivation to help you increase your income, impact, and influence. As always, I'm your host, Matty A, coming to you from Sacramento. It is beautiful here. We're finally getting some nice weather. I'm not sure if you're on the East Coast right now, you might be freezing your butt off. We've been getting drenched in rain for the last few months, so to have some sunshine in Cali is always greatly appreciated. Now, today's interview is with a great friend, a mentor of mine. He's a GoBundance brother in one of my Millionaire Mastermind groups. I've traveled the world with this guy. I've learned a ton from this guy. He owns multiple businesses within the real estate space, construction space, mortgage space. I mean, he's really created this ecosystem of businesses that support one another, that cross-pollinate with one another, and it's a brilliant model. So we dive into that a little bit today. We also talk about creating culture in your company that empowers you to develop intrapreneurs, people that can be entrepreneurial within your organization and still accelerate, still elevate. And as that model kind of has played out, it's really created an environment within his company that has been a win-win all around for people to achieve and accomplish their goals and build wealth in the process. He talks about this insane vision that they have for revolutionizing this space inside real estate and within services and within construction and business. Overall, what they are doing is something that not many businesses have been able to accomplish in this particular industry. So it was a very interesting topic. We had a lot of fun. We, you know, joked around with one another, definitely gave each other a hard time, which that's how we express love for one another, is talking a little trash in the process. We also talked about insulating your business. Now, a lot of business owners, small business individuals, they constantly pour back into their company. They constantly take risks within their business, yet they don't always insulate their business to market shifts. So Gary had some really nice insights on that. And overall, we just talked about how to continue to grow your business and your life at the same time. Because as hard charging entrepreneurs, that can be a struggle for some of us. So great conversation today. I know you're gonna love it. It's a fun, energetic one. So no matter what you're doing right now, be sure to get some notes ready, get your Evernote out, and I know there's gonna be some great content for you in this one. But before we dive into today's interview with Mr. Gary Jonas, I got a short message from one of our sponsors.
Have you ever wanted to tap into the minds of other successful millionaires and see exactly what things they are learning and implementing in their lives and businesses? Well, now you can by subscribing to Millionaire Notes, the exclusive monthly newsletter that delivers all the books, resources, insights, and strategies that the brightest millionaires from around the world are leveraging to build wealthier lives. Each and every month, the Millionaire Mindcast team and I compile the best tips, tools, and wisdom shared by my guests of the show, from all the mastermind groups I'm a part of, from the countless conferences I pay thousands of dollars to attend, and most importantly, the journals my millionaire mentors have given me access to. I've always been a big believer that success leaves clues, and by learning from other brilliant minds, we are able to model our way to a more rich and fulfilling life. And being that time is a limited and precious resource for all of us, we figured here at the Millionaire Mindcast team, we would do all the legwork for you, mine through all the data, and deliver you the most valuable golden nuggets that you can use and implement in your life each and every month. You don't have to do all the research. You don't have to pay hundreds or even thousands of dollars to attend the conferences and the events to gain access to this elite information for literally the price of a morning latte for just $5 a month. You can have all these delivered to your inbox. If you have any desire to increase your income, your impact, or your influence, then Millionaire Notes is for you. To receive your monthly edition, text Millionaire Notes, all one word, to 44222. There's no contracts. You can cancel it anytime you like. To sign up today, all you have to do is text Millionaire Notes, all one word, to 44222. Let's dive back into the show.
Welcome to the show, my brother from another mother, Mr. Gary Jonas. What's up, man?
Not much, Maddie. How you doing, my man?
It's great to have you on. It's an honor to finally have you on the show. So for those that are listening in right now, I met Gary, a little over 2.5 years ago, probably?
Correct.
Right around there. And he is in the GoBundance group where we've traveled the world and masterminded with millionaires all around the globe and had a whole hell of a lot of fun while we're doing it. But this guy is one of my mentors in the real estate investing space and just entrepreneurship and business ownership. Complete badass, and your approach to it, I think, is very unique, which is why you have so many thriving businesses. So for those that don't know who you are, what your space is, and besides the goofy hat that you're wearing right now, what Gary Jonas is all about.
This is a LaSalle basketball hat, buddy. That's I wear it to represent the school. So I would tell you that, you know, I think that what we do is try and create a system around real estate that allows us to help people without having to sell. I mean, if I were trying to kind of capsulize it into one thing, that's what it is. We want to be able to help people through their entire real estate journey, from they move out of their house for the first time to they retire and have passive investment through real estate properties. And help them through that entire life cycle. And so everything that we do is around kind of taking you from the very beginning of that cycle through the end and be able to just kind of fill in the gaps wherever you need help.
I love it. And you guys have, I want people to understand what the ecosystem is that you guys have built. Cause I mean, you have multiple businesses, ancillary businesses that cross-pollinate and collaborate and work, you know, closely together or alongside one another. So what is your business model, or what does that look like for those that don't know?
Sure. So we started in the mortgage business and just did mortgages for residential people buying houses. And that kind of led us into getting into real estate investing, which led us into real estate development, which led us into construction, which led us into home restoration and property management. And so as you kind of think through the cycle, everything that you need to do, from renting your first apartment to looking for your first house and having a real estate agent help you, to getting a mortgage, to doing work to fix up that house, to investing in a real estate development deal, all of those things we do. So everything involved with real estate cycle, the only thing we don't do is title. Everything other than that, if you need it, we can help you.
So did you guys, going into business, because I know it's you and two other partners, did you guys go into it with this idea that, hey, our business model is here's the snake of the head and we want to build all of these ancillary services around it? Or did that just naturally come as a byproduct based on the space you guys were playing in?
No, I mean, we didn't go into it with that intent. We went in, we were in the mortgage business, and we decided that we needed to start building for retirement and have some other sources of income. So we started doing some real estate investing, and that just kind of naturally led into these other companies. And it always came down to one of those things, which was we would ask the question, can we do it better and make money at it than the people we would hire to do it? And if we felt that we could do it better and still make money at it, then we're like, we should be in that business. And then that just kind of led us into all these businesses, which, you know, and we talk about all the time in the real estate, and most of the people don't treat them like businesses. So when you get in and systemize these things, typically you can be successful and scale them where a lot of people just kind of run them by the seat of their pants.
Yeah. And I've seen you do this masterfully in so many different spaces. You've helped me do this and give me a lot of insight on this, is really filling the gaps in certain spaces in your own business, or seeing a problem that needs to be solved in an industry that you might already be playing in or thinking about playing in. So what is one of the most common errors or mistakes that you see business owners making that is easily avoidable for all those that are in the, you know, entrepreneurship space or small business space? What's one thing that you constantly see small business owners or entrepreneurs making?
So great question, number one. And I would kind of, if it's okay, I'd like to focus on two things. First, I see a lot of business people that refuse to, pay for something. It's like, oh, why should I pay this much money to do that? Like, I could just do that myself and I could save that $200 or that $500 or that $1,000, which to me is a huge mistake. I'm always looking to outsource and leverage and find people who I think can be better at doing what we're trying to get done than me and pay the money for it because I see the value of leverage. And I see a lot of people get tripped up there and not be willing to make that move. And once they finally get over that hump, there's exponential growth. So that would be number one on my list. And then the second thing I see on my list with entrepreneurs is they want to make it about themselves all the time. And so I see people struggle to retain talent in small businesses because they don't create a path for the people that are in them businesses. Because if you're going to hire people in an entrepreneurial business, typically if you're getting good people, they're going to be entrepreneurial.
Right.
So the question is, how do you give them the path to see, to allow them to get to where they see you at without having to leave? That's always the question. And I see people struggle with that because they think, hey, I am the business. I'm the guy pushing everything forward. And, these people need to realize without me, they wouldn't be able to do this.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of ego in the entrepreneurial space that we play in. And I think that's one thing I've always admired about you. We talk about this on our mastermind call, myself, a couple of other guys in our group, constantly looking to you for advice in this space of when is the right time to spend money on talent and paying people what they're worth in order to take that next step. When do you believe it makes sense? Is there a certain model or a threshold that someone can say, hey, I got X amount of revenue coming in, or I got X amount of dollars in the bank. This role is going to cost me X. Now's the time to pull the trigger. Or how does somebody gauge whether they should be bringing on overhead, but that individual, that role is going to pay for themselves and then some?
That's a great question. I would tell you, I don't know that there's a hard, fast rule as to when is the time, but I would tell you that when I look at it and go, there's things that I want to be working on that I can't work on that would yield a better result, then I need to outsource that particular thing, right?
Yeah.
So, like right now, if I think of my business, I need to get out of. So our biggest source of revenue is the development stuff that I do, because those projects are big, they're $10, $20, $30 million projects. And so for me to bring somebody in like a John Packett, who we're saying, hey, John, I want to, you've been here. Our goal is over 10 years to have you doing what I'm doing right now. And you're 6 years in and I need to start turning some of these reins over to you. If I can do that, I can take the other businesses that we're currently working on and 10X them, right? So even though I'm giving up, let's say the reins to one of the biggest money makers in the company, I believe I can 10X these other businesses if I can get over there and get my focus on them. So now I know my time's better used over there. And so that's what I'm going to do. And I think that if I had to give you an answer, that would be the answer. As soon as you feel like I can create better results over here, then you need to replace yourself in the position you're in or spend the money to get somebody in to do that task.
Yeah. No, that makes a whole lot of sense. I think that one area I've seen you and your companies excel in is leadership and developing people and allowing the entrepreneurial spirit to stay burning strong within your organization. And you guys give people a path and a channel to continue to be entrepreneurs, or as many would call intrapreneurs within an organizational model like yours. For those that don't understand what your business model exactly looks like, how many employees across your different companies do you guys have? And what is your big focus for continuing to elevate those individuals in your organization?
So we have 75 employees across our companies right now. And that's because we do a lot of outsourcing of our construction. Like our construction companies are probably going to do $50 million in construction this year, a lot of which is, through subcontractors and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 75 people that work directly for our companies as a whole. And the big focus that we've had for this year, and this is a lot of what we learn when we're talking on these calls and everything, is that, you know, I think as the owner of the company, it's very easy to kind of quantify your why you're in business, what do you do this for, why is it important to you? And we put a big focus this year on determining why does everybody who work in the company, why does every one of those 75 people show up for work every day? Like, what's the reason they could work anywhere? What's the reason they chose to work here, and why do they come to work every day? And then as I find that out, you know, I can help every one of those people. So it was interesting. I had a guy who's one of our maintenance guys come in the other day, and he hadn't responded to the, you know, hey, what's your why? And so then, you know, I was talking to him and he kind of went over it with me and I wrote everything down. I was like, okay, great. And I didn't think anything of it. And he left. 2 days later, he comes back and he's like, I'm really unhappy with my answer. Really bothered me that I gave you that answer. Like, I'm going to read this book and I'm going to come back to you on Monday and I'm going to give you a better answer. And I'm like, great, Patrick, that's, you know, no problem, dude. Like, I'm excited to see your answer. And then from that, when I understand their why, my goal is to then help them attain that why. And the way that I want to do that is, you know, one, help them with the work-life balance, which I think we can do. And two, help them with the financial literacy part of it. So we set out a goal that if you work for our company for 15 years, at the end of 15 years, you should be 100%. So you know what that terminology is, right? Which is, hey, you can pay 100% of your bills from the passive income you generate from your investments. And so we're putting a plan together that allows us to get every employee in the company there if they can stay with us for 15 years and we can hit our revenue goals.
Dude, that is, I mean, there's not many companies out there that want to and really invest in creating a vehicle and a path for their employees to essentially become financially free while working for them. And you guys, I remember actually I was at a conference not too long ago and one of the CEOs said, I'm building a culture around the fact that if my employees had a choice and an opportunity to work for one of my competitors and get paid more money, they would still choose to work for my company because of the environment and the opportunities we create for them on a daily basis. And I feel like that is something that you guys are doing really, really well. What is the vision of your guys' culture? And is it just you driving it? Or how do you guys make sure that that culture is felt from the janitor or, you know, the small project manager to your high-level execs?
So, yeah, I mean, right now it's just the owners of the company driving the vision and messaging through, you know, just seeing and interacting with people every day. But we've decided that we were going to embark on a whole new approach to it. One, through our marketing effort and really kind of revamp our marketing to send this message the way we want. And then two, to work with the leaders of each of our departments on a very specific coaching program that gets us all working in the same direction and all kind of pushing that same message down through the organization the whole way. And so we're going to invest a lot of money over the next 6 months, really kind of formalizing that and systemizing it in a way that will get that message across much better than kind of the me and my partners in our head thinking we're explaining that and me saying to somebody one time and passing, hey, I want to make you 100%er.
Yeah.
And
right.
Really making it 100% part of the culture of the company. And so, you know, if we talk in 6 months, I'll have a much better, you know, answer for you as to exactly what we're doing to do it. But I would tell you that we're in the process of working with coaches and different people to kind of get that more systemized.
I freaking love that. I think that's such a unique value proposition that not many organizations have built into their infrastructure and their culture right now. With where you guys are going, I'm curious, what is your vision for the next 5 years of the, you know, the brand that you guys have created?
So my vision is that we really, I don't think there's anybody in the country that can do all the things we can do within the real estate space. Okay. So if I were to explain it to you this way, you were to graduate from college, you want to get your first apartment, now you move into an apartment. Our property management people help you. You move into one of our developments. First thing I'm doing the day you move in is starting to save money for you to help you buy your first house. And I'm saying to you, hey, Matt, you're now part of our family, and we want you to buy your first house because we think homeownership is one of the easiest ways to, you know, become wealthy. So we're going to set a certain portion of your rent aside every month, okay? And then when you're ready to buy, we're going to use that as a credit towards your purchase. Now we're going to put you in touch with our real estate agent. We're going to put you in touch with our mortgage people. We're going to walk you through that process. And if you want, because we are outsourcing real estate deals and fixing up properties, we'll sell you one of our off-market deals, or if they don't work for you, we'll help you find something that does, right? So now you buy your first house, hopefully through us, get your mortgage through us. Now something goes wrong, you got a leak, there's a problem in your house. You can't call back the, you know, you can call back your real estate agent and maybe they can refer you somebody, but typically you're not going to know who to call, how to get that work done. Well, you're going to call us because we've told you, hey, look, we're here for you. Now you need work done on your house. We're going to fix that house for you. Okay. Now you decide, hey, I'm ready to upgrade. I want to move into another house. Well, now we're going to sit you down. We're going to have a conversation. Okay. Well, does it make sense to sell this house? Does it make sense to keep this house and rent it and buy your second house? Let's go through your financial goals. Let's see how this works in. I don't have to sell you on selling the house so I can get a real estate commission and buying another house so I can get another real estate commission. Because if you rent your house, I do property management. It, you know, if you do decide to sell it, I can sell it through my real estate agent. But no matter what your need is, I can help you and I don't have to sell you anything. I can just sit down and say, hey, tell me what's going on in your life. Tell me what you're looking to accomplish and let me help you get there, right? Now you're a couple years older and you go, man, that one property worked out great for me. I'd like to invest in more real estate, but I don't really have the time. How do I do this? They call us back and we say, hey, here's the 8 development deals we have going on. If you'd like to put money into this development deal, please do. And here's the kind of returns we're offering people. Great. You write that check. Now you're involved in this real estate deal. Right. And then we just continue down that path with you for your entire life. You know, if you inherit your mom's house and it's a piece of junk and you have 8 flip guys coming in that want to buy it and they say to you, well, I got to buy it for X. And you're like, well, man, that really sounds low. See, we're not going to come in and say that. We're going to say, hey, look, we can buy it for X. You don't want to deal with your 2 crazy sisters? Not a problem. We'll buy it for X and you're out. But realize that we're then going to fix it up and sell it and we have to make money, right? So here's what that math looks like. If you still want to sell it because you don't want to deal with your siblings, great. If you want to fix it up and go after the real money, no problem. Again, we'll send our construction company. They'll fix it up for you and then you can sell it. And I'll make money on the construction. I'll make money on the outside real estate. But again, I can give you real advice that's in your best interest because I can help you no matter what you need. I don't think there's anybody that can do that.
It's such a freaking brilliant model. And it's such a great way of retention to be able to offer different options. I think that's one thing I love about your guys' business model. One thing that I've really tried to incorporate in what we're building is when you provide people with options, they don't feel cornered, right? And they feel like there is a lot more integrity when they don't have one option, they have 2 or 3 or 5. And especially if it's one of those things where you guys aren't just chasing one transaction, you're actually really looking to cultivate the relationship for the life of that client and understand that there are many, you know, opportunities along that journey to generate some kind of win-win relationship with them where you can provide value, provide a service, as well as generate revenue or income for one of your businesses.
You got it, brother. So, you know, the next step in the process is to get it so systemized and dialed in Philly that I can move it anywhere that the demographics are right. And so we've invested a lot in talent. We're investing a lot in systems and branding and messaging right now. And we'll spend the next year really fine tuning and honing it. And then when we're ready, we'll take it, you know, we'll start duplicating it. That's the idea.
It's amazing. Now, where do you currently see the, you know, shifting a little bit to more of the economic side or our current market? Where do you see that going and how does that impact what you guys are doing as business owners being in an industry that could heavily be impacted due to economic up and downturns?
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I think our thought is we can't predict the market. What we want to be able to do is be fluid within the market. So there's always opportunity in real estate, right? So the question is, you know, how do I protect my downside on the stuff I have that I'm working on currently? And how am I ready to move my resources depending on where the market shifts? So if I were to answer those questions in a little more detail, I'll talk about the market shift, right? So all of our, you know, the big drivers of our revenue right now are multifamily real estate development deals, 20, 40, 50 unit buildings, right? But we realize that we know that we're almost at the end of that cycle. Nobody knows if it's this year, if it's next year, but everybody knows we're almost at the end of that cycle, right? So the first thing I need to know is that all the properties that I own and the 600 or 700 units that we manage for ourselves, that they can withstand, you know, a 10% decrease in rent and maybe a 10% vacancy. And if they can, then I can go, all right, well, if the market shifts, I might not make as much money over here, but I'm still going to be alive when we come out the other side. So I'm okay there. Now, all these great resources and engines I built, what am I going to do with them when they're not building $5 million apartment buildings anymore, right? So the answer is that we need to be in some recession-proof businesses. So what businesses do I think are relatively recession-proof, right, that deal with real estate? So the answers are restoration. You know, there's always going to be disasters, fires, floods, you know, that kind of stuff. So part of our ability to do that construction that we talked about when you call and you're like, hey, I need a little work in my kitchen. I need a little, you know, this kind of stuff. And most people don't have the scale and the system to set it up. Well, restoration companies, they do. That's exactly what they do, right? So by building that company, I can offer the service to the clients that need them, but I can have a spot where I can ratchet my marketing up and bring my construction guys over there and keep them busy if the multifamily piece goes down. The other piece where I think you have some recession-proof ability is in the flip business, right? So we know when the market's going up, flip business is tough because everybody knows house values are going up. Everybody, you know, it's a tougher business to make money in.
Yeah.
But when the market's going down, people are panicking, they're selling, they're not rational, they just want to get rid of stuff. And so if you can be in that business when the market goes down, that's a good thing, right? So we look at those two businesses, and we also look at the new construction townhouse business and say those three businesses, if the multifamily business goes down, those three businesses should be strong. And we're just going to look at which ones have the opportunity, we're going to go after those, and we're going to stay disciplined to not have too much in the pipeline in any one given sector that if the market turns, it's too much of a problem that we can't deal with it.
Yeah, I love the fact that we're talking about one, diversification as well as insulation, because if you are a business owner, if you're thinking about starting a business, you want to create some kind of business model that enables you to insulate your business based on the upticks and the downturns. And by taking all of that into account ahead of time, you guys are well positioned to be you're being proactive instead of being reactive when it shifts. And you saw more than anybody in 2008 when the market crashed that you guys were essentially, there was a lot of people in a rough spot. So that is something I think that people should be taking into account when they're creating businesses, or at least staying ahead of the curve for protecting their businesses as, you know, we head into some potentially choppy waters being at the end of the market, right? The market cycles.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that I see a lot of times from real estate investors where they get themselves in trouble is that, you know, they start making money and they start spending that money and they don't have any reserves set up to deal with these shifts in the market and the things that go on. And it's really difficult because unless you've been through it, you know, it just seems like, oh, if it gets 20% worse, I'm okay. You know, we'll just be fine. And that's not the way it works. It gets 20% worse, but you don't realize that 20% worse, unless you've been through it, is 90% of your profit.
Right.
Right. And so you're like, oh, wait a second. Now I'm not making any money anymore. Which is okay. Like we're fully prepared for if we have a year or two where we got to shift resources and we're just covering our businesses, that's okay. You just want to be there when the opportunity comes back around and have an engine of talented people that are ready to rock and roll.
Yeah.
And so it's not always about making money. Sometimes it's just about keeping everybody going while you're waiting for the right opportunity to show itself.
Yeah. You touched on something that is a big focus of the show, is a big part of the brand of Millionaire Mindcast, which it's not all about money. And I would say, while you've been very intentional on your wealth building journey, you also live like a millionaire in many other areas of your life. And that's something that we focus a lot on in our mastermind groups. What does being wealthy actually mean to you? What's your definition of being wealthy?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've been exposed to so many different ideas from people and people saying, hey, you know, you have enough money to live the lifestyle you want and to go have fun and to do these things. And I don't know that I have put anything specifically on it and be able to, I will tell you that, and this, I'm sure it sounds goofy, but I do enjoy the satisfaction that comes with people thinking I'm successful. And so the thought that other people think I'm successful makes me very happy.
You're like, I pulled the wool over their eyes if they only knew.
I mean, I don't know if it's an insecurity that I have, but the fact I seek validation in other people's opinion of me, you know? And so it certainly drives me nuts if other people don't think that what I'm doing is good or successful. So my definition of success is that the people around me think that I'm doing a good job and I'm attaining a relatively high level of efficiency and output. And at the same time that there's enough freedom for me to do the things that I want to do. So, you know, I would say that we're going on 6 or 8 vacations this year, you know, which is great. I mean, that's one of the things that I've definitely learned through the Go Abundance group and from being on the calls and the masterminds is that, look, if you're doing all this stuff, and you know, the life's passing you by, you're missing it. Like I have this internal debate today that it snowed. So I got this crazy hat on because I'm about to go out in the snow with my kids. Right. But I know there's 4 things I want to do for work. And it's like, I got to teach myself that the work will be there tomorrow and I can go out and, you know, yeah, be in the snow with my kids for the day. So,
yeah. That's a great point, because I think a lot of us draw a line in the sand and we say, when I get to the other side, then I can be X, or then I can do this, or then I can feel this. How have you, based on your own internal dialogue and experiences, been able to architect this mindset around the fact that, hey, I'm running you guys are running multi-million dollar organizations, massive projects, $20, $30, $50 million projects, and yet you're over here talking about playing in the snow with your daughters, which you should be. So how does somebody figure out, you know, what is your recommendation or suggestion on how you have been able to design this balance for yourself, the hard charging entrepreneur?
Get around other people who do it. I mean, that's the answer. Yeah. The more times you spend around the David Osbornes and the Pat Hymans and the Mike McCarthys, and you see these guys are out there running big companies that make tons of money and having tons of fun and not letting it pass them by, all of a sudden you believe that it can be done.
Yeah. What are you most proud of about your life, business or personal?
I would tell you the thing that I am most proud of is that I think if you talk to most people, they would tell you, hey, look, you know, these guys are in business, but they do it the right way. They can do it without taking advantage of people. They can do it with giving more than they probably should in just about every deal and still be successful. And you know, our reputation is super important to us. And, you know, just the ability to say, hey, talk to anybody I do business with and ask them what kind of organization we are and what kind of people we are. And to be 100% confident that no matter who you talk to that we've done business with, they would say at the end of the day, those guys always did the right thing.
Yep. And that's honestly why I love you and why you've been a mentor to me and why I've modeled a lot of what I do. I'm a big believer in modeling after those that you want to, you know, build a business like or live your life like or whatever it may be. I got to give you a big props on that, because, you know, it takes a very long time to build that kind of reputation and only one or two little mistakes that can tarnish all of that hard work. And everybody that talks about you or has been a friend of yours or whatever it may be, you know, I don't want to pump that head up of yours, being that it might not fit in that goofy little hat you got going on, but you are one of those individuals that has created a big life for yourself, for other people, and you walk your talk. So I had to throw that in there. Is there anything that scares the hell out of you?
Yeah, I'm still a little worried that I'm not spending enough time with my kids. I heard somebody say you only get 18 summers, and I'm looking at my 12-year-old and going, I only got 6 summers left. And of those 6 summers, I don't know how many of those 6 she's really going to hang out with me.
Yeah, right. And,
you know, I want to make sure that we plan those right. And then, you know, the other thing is that, you know, look, we're in the real estate business, and everything I do, I think I'm trying to insulate against it. But when you own real estate developments, those are 20, 30, 40 year projects. And so if you make mistakes on things like that, those are big errors. And I worry that as people get more comfortable doing things, they start taking more risk as they're successful. And I think it's very difficult. You know, and I see me doing it, like I'm chasing deals on some level right now, and I'm worried that I won't stay disciplined enough and I'll make mistakes where I shouldn't.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the discipline side of things, because I think we can all relate to that, whether it's investing in wealth, whether it's your health. How does one continue to stay disciplined? Is it just, you know, I've always thought about, hey, we have a criteria, you define what your criteria is to the standard of your life and what makes the most sense for either your financial goals or for your health goals or whatever it may be. Is it as easy as saying, define your criteria and stick to it?
It is, right? And it's interesting that you say that, because I'm a huge criteria guy, and anybody that ever comes in and talks to me, the first thing we sit down and talk about is what's your criteria. And I give them a spreadsheet, I show them what my criteria is and all this stuff. And then what happens is we get caught up in the day-to-day operations of the business. And sometimes we forget to look at our own criteria. And so what we've just recently done is I said, look, we have a property dashboard that has our criteria on it, has the properties that we have in development, has where we're at versus our goals and all that stuff in one spot. And I'm like, look, we're talking about all these different deals, but what we need to do is start by looking at this dashboard, saying where were we at versus our goal. Okay. Are we going outside of what is our criteria to try and hit this goal? Because if we are, maybe it's okay not to hit the goal this year. You know, yeah. As hard as that is to say, maybe that's the answer. And so it's that kind of discipline versus just trying to hit a goal because you said you have a goal.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I can tell you that we got away from it as I was training the next generation. I got away from the dashboard and the things. And whenever I feel like apprehensive, I always go back to it and I pull it back out and go, all right, where am I really? Okay. And then I feel better. You know, like I had a group of guys that were friends with come in, and they told me, you know, they're building 150 townhouses in Philly. And these guys came up from DC like 3 years ago. And I'm like, these guys came up here, they're eating my lunch. Like, how is this possible? These guys come into my neighborhood where I'm an expert and are doing a better job than I'm doing. So then I went back and I looked at it, you know, because I was driving me nuts. And I'm like, huh, let me think about what's really going on here. And when I went through and I looked at it, I said, wow, okay, they're going to do 150 deals and we're going to do 60. But here's the difference. Our 60 are 100% insulated versus the market. Mm. We have a downside protection them. They're 150. If they work, they're great. But if they don't work, it's a huge problem. And I got myself way more comfortable with, I'd rather do 60 deals the way I'm doing it than 150 the way they're doing it, because ours is a more disciplined approach and we won't get hurt if the market turns where they will.
Yeah, that's a great point. What is your thought on, being that you have a lot of really badass millennials working in your organization and you still act like a millennial at sometimes, how do you feel millennials have an advantage in this business and entrepreneurship space, and where do you see some gaps that they may need to fill?
So the first thing is, as crazy as it is, I was 1 year away from being a baby boomer. Just to keep that in the back of your head. And we were looking at it. We were looking at the actual map the other day to see where, you know, what the populations were by different, you know, Generation X and the baby boomers and all that stuff. And it came out that I just made the Generation X. Yeah. So I'm old. But with that being said, look, I think the millennials are way better people than the Generation X people were, that are better people than the baby boomers were. And I don't buy off on, like, I see everybody that works for us. I see maybe they want to get there a little quicker than they should. They want to kind of skip some steps in the process, but they're willing to work hard. They have good hearts. They want to do the right thing. And so it's just about helping them frame how it's, you know, that it's not going to be, hey, tomorrow I'm going to be here.
Yeah.
It's okay. In 3 years, you can be here. In 5 years, you can be here. In 7 years, you can be here. Here's how we'll get you there. And then to take them back and say, by the way, here's where I was at when I was 30. Here's where I was at when I was 35.
Put a little perspective to it.
Yeah. So if you're looking at me and saying, well, I want to be where you're at. And I'm saying, great, I want you to be where I'm at too. And you feel like, you know, if I feel like I can get you there in the same or a little shorter time because I can help you through some of the mistakes that I made, then great. But let's have some perspective around what that time really takes.
Yep.
You know, and then because we do a lot of kind of open book stuff, I bring the younger people in and I'm like, okay, well, let me show you what just happened here. On paper, we made $5 million last year, but $3 million of it went back into the company, right? To invest in future deals, to invest in growing these companies, to do this. So you know, you think this is what we made, and we did, but here's where that money went. So when you see what really happened, you got to, if you want to do this, you've got to be able to get yourself in the same situation, and you can't grow to here if you don't have X to invest.
Right.
And so what we're trying to do is show the guys, hey, look, all you have to do, and it's real easy because you've seen my checklist, right, where I give the different, what I think different things are worth in real estate development deals, and we assign percentages. Well, as I want to take less risk and these young people want to take more risk, we just start saying, okay, well, look, I want to get you set up so in 2 years the bank doesn't need me to sign on this debt anymore, and they're going to let you sign on the debt because that's what you want to do, right? And you want to take that risk, so I know you're going to vet that deal a little better than one that I'm signing on a debt for, and all of a sudden my goals and your goals are way more aligned, right?
Yeah.
And what's going to end up happening is you're going to get to where you want to get to. I'm already where I want to get to. So I'm just going to get to add little incremental slices and pass off some of the risk to you. And you're going to get to essentially run this business, you know, and anybody that's willing to sign up for taking on that risk and taking on that reinvestment of their dollars, I will help you take over this business.
Yep. AKA John Pack, the man, the myth, the legend.
Yep. And we got, not to belittle John Pack, because John Pack's the man.
Yeah.
But we got 6 or 7 John Packs.
Which is amazing, because you guys have a bench of talent that is waiting to step up to the plate and start swinging at the, you know, at the opportunities with you guys, which is what every organization should have, is always building a bench of talent. Because I can tell you, some of the biggest pain points I've had in my own business is, you know, if somebody ends up leaving due to, you know, new opportunity or starting their own business or whatever it may be. If you don't have a bench of talent that's ready to step up into those opportunities, it could potentially give you a few sticking points or pain points in your business. But I just love the fact that you brought that up, because I, as a millennial, have to tell myself this as well as share this with other millennials that are listening. And whether you're a millennial or not, I think oftentimes we underestimate what we can accomplish in a short amount of time, and also what we can accomplish in a very extended period of time. And with millennials or anybody in general, if you do something consistently, if you make smart choices consistently over an extended period of time, you have all the ingredients necessary to create wealth or to get the results that you desire in your life. So I think it's the consistency part that needs to be coupled with the patience as well, is thinking, okay, it's long-term, but also, you know, I can think long-term, but if I'm not doing the right things consistently, then I will not see the results that I desire.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I show these guys everything. I show them my savings spreadsheet. I also show them, you know, here's an entrepreneur's journey. So my wife has her doctorate, right? And her income consistently goes up year over year, and it goes in a straight line, and it's 3%, 5%, whatever. Mm-hmm. And mine kind of goes up and then it goes down and then it goes up and then it goes down.
Yep.
And so I've tracked it every year for the 17 years that we've been married to say, hey, look, if you think you want to take this journey, let me show you what this journey is really like.
Yep.
Or maybe you need to take this kind of journey, and maybe you just need slow incremental growth. And in both scenarios, you can make decisions that'll get you where you want to be.
Right.
It's just a matter of understanding what's involved in both different scenarios. And so it's a very interesting.
Yeah.
And I love to walk people through it.
Entrepreneurship is a roller coaster. Small business ownership is a roller coaster. A lot of pressure, a lot of emotional highs and lows, but it sure is a hell of a journey. That's for sure. All right. Well, as we wrap up, you know, I want to get a little perspective on where your head's at. If you were told you only had 2 weeks to live, what would you choose to do with who and why?
Now, the great news is I've heard you ask this question 100 times because I listen to your podcast every time I run, right? So I'm on my podcast, I'm listening, and I hear people answer this question. And I totally forgot that it was coming at the end.
You knew I was going to throw it at you. I thought it was a softball. Now I'm throwing, you know, fastballs by you.
I don't know. I like the immediate things that comes to my head is I would go someplace that's calm, that's calming, and I would go there with my family, and I would just hang out and, you know, all the things that you want to say to people. I would try and make sure that I got to say. Some people find this weird, but I've been in a situation in two particular cases where I knew that I was in a room and it was the last time I was ever going to see somebody. One was my grandfather and one was my aunt. And you just knew, like, I might see them again, but I'm not going to be able, this is the last time I'm going to be able to talk to this person.
Yeah.
And then all these things I wanted to get out, nothing. Like I couldn't do it. I couldn't get it out.
Well, I don't want you next to me on my deathbed. How about that?
I hear you, dude. And it bothers me. It bothers the heck out of me. And I'm like, I don't know why I couldn't say the things that I wanted to say, but I couldn't get it out. So hopefully, you know, if I were in that situation for myself, I'd do a much better job.
Well, Gary, it's been a pleasure, brother. I got a lot of love for you, man. You've made a lot of impact on my life. Every time I'm around you, not only do I learn, but I leave energized, laughing, having a good time. So you're one of those people that definitely makes massive deposits to my life's bank account. And I know you're doing it to tons of other people. For anybody that wants to just connect with you on Facebook or, you know, follow one of your developments or your website, where can they reach out to you?
They can just go to howproperties.com, which is just HOW and the word properties.com. My email address is gary@howproperties.com, gary@howproperties.com. So anybody wants to get in touch with me can do so there. I'm more than happy to talk to anybody and answer anybody's questions about absolutely anything.
Appreciate you, brother. Cheers.
All right.
Well, that does it for this interview with Uncle G, Mr. Gary Jonas, my brother, my friend, my mentor. I'm sure now you can see why I have modeled much of what I am doing after what he is doing. Not only does he have an amazing business platform and environment and culture that he has created, but he also has this great approach to his personal life and having fun and having balance. I love the fact that he was, you know, he's talking about a $40 million project. And he's going to go pick up a shovel and go hang out in the snow with his daughters and spend some time. That is what I like to call living life like a millionaire in all aspects of your life. I really liked that we talked about, I thought it was interesting that he said one of the biggest mistakes he sees entrepreneurs or small business owners make is that they are too cheap when it comes to wanting to spend money on hiring the right individuals. And one piece of advice I remember getting a while back was, you can never spend too much money and get exactly what you want. Think about that for a second. If you were to hire somebody in your company, or maybe hire a vendor or a service, and they give you exactly what you want, you can calculate the return on that investment, bringing in what kind of revenue or what kind of resources or relationships you're looking for to fill in your business. It's worth it, right? Because that's how companies continue to scale. That's how individuals and employees continue to elevate. So great topic there. And how cool was it that part of their culture is creating a path, a channel for their employees to become financially free, to become 100%ers. You don't hear too many owners of companies talking about making their employees wealthy and actually giving them a tangible vehicle or means to follow. So I just love that. That's something that I think every business should have in the back of their mind is thinking, how can we make our employees wealthier, more fulfilled, and really more secure, therefore creating an environment that they will never ever want to leave. Very cool stuff there. And I just loved the idea around reputation and integrity. And I think this is something that a lot of individuals are missing the boat on, is at the end of the day, your reputation, your business, whatever service you provide, whatever, you know, product you're selling, you have a reputation to uphold and to build, and that should always start with integrity and ethics. So great interview today with Mr. Gary Jonas. Loved every bit of it. If you want to check out the show notes or any of the links that we talked about in the interview itself, go check out matthaitchison.com, or if you're watching on YouTube, you can see those below in the show notes. And for those that are looking for a new book, a new read, we have our Millionaire Books free recommended reads, 50 recommended reads from our guests of the show, people that we are meeting at conferences, the best books that we have compiled to empower you on your march to a million and beyond. You can get that by texting Millionaire Books, all one word, to 44222. Also, if you haven't subscribed on iTunes or haven't subscribed on YouTube yet, whether you like listening in the car while you're running on the treadmill, or maybe you like watching video and seeing actually who the individual is that we're talking to, be sure to subscribe on either platform. Leave a comment of something that you loved in the show. Share it with a friend. We are looking to continue spreading all of this uplifting content to empower more people to really become more conscious as they create and design and architect the dream life for themselves. So until next time, keep investing in yourself and your wealth on your march to a million and beyond. Cheers, my friends.